जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे, जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व, जय प्रह्लाद सिंह जय प्रह्लाद सिंह प्रह्लाद सिंह जय प्रह्लाद सिंह, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद, निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, निताय गौर हरि बोल,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतहिष्टिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, श्री श्री राधा माधव अष्ट सखी वृंद की जय, श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय, श्री श्री पंचतत्व की जय, श्री प्रह्लाद श्री नरसिंह देव भगवान की जय, श्री मायापुर धाम की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Hare Krishna. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 14, System of Universal Management, Texts 9 through 11. 10 is up on the board, so I will recite 9 and 11 myself. 9. Sargam Prajesha Rupena Dasyunhanyat Swaradvapuhu Kala Rupena Sarvesham Abhavaya Prithak Gunaha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. Becoming the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. And in the form of time, he annihilates everything. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 10, we will chant this together. Stuyamanaha Janaihi Ebhihi Mayaya Nama Rupaya Vimohita Atmabhihi Nana Darshanaihi Na Cha Drishyate Stuyamano Janairebhir Mayaya Nama Rupaya Vimohitatma Bhirnana Darshanairna Cha Drishyate Stuyamano Janairebhir Mayaya Nama Rupaya Vimohitatma Bhirnana Darshanairna Cha Drishyate Stuyamano Janairebhih Mayaya Nama Rupaya Vimohitatma Bhirnana Darshanairna Cha Drishyate Cha drishyate Yana rupaya Vinana Shalena cha drishyate Matajis, please. Drishyate Stuyamano Janairebhir Mayaya Nama Rupaya Hitatma Bhirnana Janairna Cha Drishyate Stuyamano Janairebhih Mayaya Nama Rupaya Narayana Darshanairna Cha Drishyate Stuyamanaha Being sought Janaihi By people in general Ebhihi, by all of them, Mayaya, under the influence of Maya, Nama Rupaya, possessing different names and forms, Vimohita, bewildered, Atmabhihi, by illusion, Nana, various, Darshanaihi, by philosophical approaches, na, not, cha, and, drishyate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be found. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. By the way, can all of you hear me clearly at the back? You can hear me? Sorry? Louder. Maybe someone can turn up the... Translation. People in general are bewildered by the illusory energy and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through various types of research and philosophical speculation. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Lord. Purport. Whatever actions and reactions take place for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world are actually brought about by the one Supreme Person. There are many varieties of philosophers trying to search for the ultimate cause under different names and forms, but they are unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita that He is the origin of everything and the cause of all causes, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. This inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees therefore accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is, and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. There is one last verse in this chapter that doesn't have a purport, so I will just read that along with the translation. Etat kalpa vikalpasya pramanan parikirtitam yatra manmantranyahus chaturdasha puravidaha. Translation. In one kalpa or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O King, all of these have been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma there are 14 manus. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. The chapter that is under discussion now, which is just completed, is titled The System of Universal Management. Many lessons to learn for management in this world. Principles of empowerment, delegation, we can use a lot of modern terminology to try to understand and apply in our modern life those principles that Krishna himself employs here to administer the universe. Each universe has a Brahma, as we all know, and Brahma's lifetime is 100 years by his calculation, 3 trillion years, or rather 311 trillion years by our calculation, Earth calculation. That is the lifetime of the universe. That is the lifetime of Brahma. Brahma has 100 years, and each of these years has 360 days. Each of these days is called a kalpa, as we see in the last verse here today, 11th verse. And each kalpa is further subdivided into divisions called vikalpas. There are many types of vikalpas, but the most primary division of the kalpas into vikalpas is that there are 14 divisions, and each of these divisions is called a manvantara, because there are 14 manus. Manu is the word from which man comes. So these 14 manus, they administer the universe on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So these 14 manus, they occupy 12 hours of Brahma's day. So it's the full day of Brahma. And after that we have the 12 hours of the night, when the lower planetary systems are all submerged and only the very few higher planetary systems remain. So every manvantara has one manu, and along with manu there are many other personalities who are supposed to discharge various functions. We have, for example, the demigods. We have Indra, who is a chief amongst the demigods. We have the seven sages. We have the prajapatis, or the progenitors. We also have a specific avatar of the Lord called the Manvantara avatar, who appears in that age specifically to oversee and appoint these other important personalities. So therefore the Manu is appointed, the demigods are appointed, the seven sages are appointed, various other personalities like the Prajapatis and others are appointed, and then Brahma also empowers them in various ways. Brahma begets progeny himself, and they in turn beget progeny, and that is how the whole universe gets populated. And it is administered expertly. So in this way, there is a very complete arrangement for the management of the universe taking place under the superintendence of the Lord. This particular manvantara that we are living in is the seventh manvantara in this one day of Brahma. Brahma has completed 50 years of his life, and we are in the first day of his 51st year. And in that first day, we are almost halfway through. We're probably sometime around Brahma's lunchtime, a little before maybe. Half day, we're through the half day of Brahma. Because 12 hours, the daytime of Brahma has 14 manus, and we are in the seventh manu, and in the course of the seventh manu, we are in the 28th chatur yuga. Every manu has 71 chatur yugas. Chatur yuga means the four yugas: satya yuga, treta yuga, dwapar yuga, kali yuga. So together they are called chatur yuga. When they repeat 71 times approximately, that is the lifespan of one manu, and that is called the manvantara. So these demigods And the seven sages, etc., are appointed for each manvantara. So they keep changing. They are posts that are created for that particular manvantara. So we are now in the 28th manvantara and the Kali Yuga of that. It is only in this manvantara, in this particular Chatur Yuga, that actually the Lord appears. Krishna has appeared as Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga of this 28th manvantara, and Mahaprabhu appears in the Kali Yuga following that. So we are so fortunate that we are so close in time to the appearance of Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in any case, in this 28th manvantara, who is the manvantara avatar? Can anyone say? No, the manvantara avatar, not the Manu. There is sometimes a confusion between the manvantara avatar and the Manu. But the manvantara avatar is directly the Supreme Lord, and he is the one who appoints everybody else. So Manus are also partial incarnations of the Lord, but they are not always the manvantara avatars. So who is the manvantara avatar for this manvantara? Vamanadev, that's right. Vamana, Lord Vamana appears in this age as the son of Aditi and Kashyap. And who is the Manu in this age? Vaivasvata Manu, the son of Vivasvan, the sun god. And what is his name? Manu is a post. But there's a person who occupies that post, and that person has a name. Like we all have name. Shraddhadev. Shraddhadev, as is described in many of the earlier verses. Yes? Shraddhadev, and he is the son of the sun god Vivasvan. So the name of our sun god for this manvantara is Vivasvan. And his son is Vaivasvata Manu, Shraddhadev. Who is the Indra for this age? What is his name? We call him Indra. Indra came, Indra did this, Indra did that. But it's like saying the president did this, the prime minister did that. But you see, the president or the prime minister have a name, right? So what is the name of this Indra? Purandara, excellent. So we have also the seven sages like Atri Muni, Gautama Rishi, Jamadagni and Vasishta, Vishwamitra, and like that, some other sages. So these are appointed for this particular manvantara. We also have many progenitors whose task it is to procreate progeny so that the universe may get populated. And we've heard the description in the previous verse about Marichi and other sages. So there is a very complete and wonderful arrangement of the Supreme Lord to manage the material world. He has appointed just the right people to do the right job. But sometimes, because it is a material world, even the right people sometimes do wrong things. Like Indra sometimes does the wrong thing, as we all know, in the pastime of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. Now, in the beginning of each chapter, Srila Prabhupada has given a summary of that chapter. So we are in chapter 14 of canto 8, and in the summary of this chapter, at the end, Srila Prabhupada states a question that is sometimes asked by those who don't have faith. So let me read what Srila Prabhupada says in the last part of the summary of this chapter, which is found in the beginning of this chapter. Quote, "One may argue, if the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead can do anything simply by His will, why has He arranged for so many personalities to manage. Yes? So even if one is a faithful devotee, this question may arise in our mind. So if it arises in the mind of the devotees, naturally it's going to arise in the minds of those who are not faithful. So what does Prabhupada say? How and why he does this cannot be understood by those who are under the clutches of Maya. So therefore the answer to this question cannot be understood by those who are under Maya. But still, the question remains. Srila Prabhupada here has not answered this question specifically. So why is it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-pervasive, all-knowing, that is omniscient, he can do things simply by his will. Why then does he appoint so many personalities for the management of this universe? And the rest of this class will be devoted to answering this question. The first answer, the first point, or the first part of the answer is that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always transcendentally situated. He never comes in direct contact with material nature. He is always aloof from this material creation, as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the others are aloof, are not aloof, like Shiva, for example. He is also an expansion of the Lord. But the difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is that Lord Shiva is that expansion of the Lord who actually touches the material world. Because he touches the material world, he becomes something different. Krishna or Vishnu don't touch the material world. They stay aloof. But yet, the Lord is the creator of the universe. So how does that happen? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunane nakaunteya jagat viparivartate. Everything is going on according to my direction, O Arjuna. The whole cosmic manifestation is going on according to my direction. Whether these are inanimate things or animate things, it's all under my supreme control. In the purport to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains that even though the Lord is aloof, he still creates. And because he creates, we shouldn't think that he's actually in contact with nature. He gives the example of a flower that is fragrant. And a person who comes near the flower and wants to smell it. The fragrance of the flower may spread to a distance. And a person standing a distance away may be able to smell that flower. But the flower is distinct from the smelling power of the individual who is smelling it. In the same way, even though Krishna is the creator of the universe, but he is at a distance. He simply creates by casting his glance on the material nature. And this casting of Krishna's glance on the material nature is activity, undoubtedly, Srila Prabhupada says. But it is activity like the smelling of the flower by that person. That person doesn't touch the flower. But his power of smelling is able to perceive the smell of that flower. So similarly, Krishna creates this material world by his glance and by his will. So he doesn't actually directly contact this material world. So this is one answer for why Krishna employs so many personalities. Because he is aloof. And because he's aloof, he must engage his agents or his instruments or his representatives.
Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha.
So the Upanishads say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Para, Supreme, he is endowed naturally with all potencies. And these potencies are ever at his beck and call. They are always eager to serve him. And simply by his desire, by his very thought, everything can get done. Svabhaviki, naturally. Jnana bala kriyacha. So his potencies operate simply by his desiring. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, that doesn't happen for us. We don't create things simply by desiring. We have to work very hard. We have to utilize our strength, our energy. So then Krishna has these appointed personalities, and they perform the function of creation. And these empowered personalities are given certain delegated tasks in the universe. And each one of them has to do that properly. So therefore, because Krishna is aloof from the creation, he doesn't directly touch the creation, he has these appointed personalities who do this task for him. And they have been empowered by him. That's the first answer. The second answer is, let's consider a very wealthy person who is the owner of a very large factory or an industry. Now, he employs many, many workers who will work on the assembly line. Someone's working in production, someone in purchasing, someone in selling the goods. And there's any number of people who are employed in that large industry. The owner of the factory doesn't come and sit on the assembly line and actually lift everything and work. He has his employees who are like his energies. He pays them, he empowers them. He says, okay, you are the manager. You're going to oversee this assembly line. And you're all the workers, and you have to listen to this manager. So he empowers different people suitably to perform different types of work. And he sits in his air-conditioned cabin, talking on the phone, entertaining guests, and just generally overseeing everything. So if an ordinary, powerful and wealthy man of this world doesn't have to get down on the shop floor and dirty his hands, so to speak, how much more so for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the owner and proprietor of everything in the creation, of all the innumerable universes. He doesn't need to come and dirty his hands in the creation, so to speak. He leaves it to his employees, to his agents, to his instruments. The third reason is that most of those who are agents to effect the process of creation, sustenance and destruction in the material world are devotees of the Supreme Lord. Some may not be devotees. Those who are not devotees but are also used by the Lord to fulfill some purpose of His. And so they are purified because they engage in the Lord's service. For those who are devotees, the Lord engages them in devotional service. Because the task of managing the creation of the universe is also a divine task. Because this is Krishna's creation. And it is Krishna's purpose that has to be fulfilled through this creation. So those devotees who are appointed to the task of managing the whole material world are doing devotional service. So just as in any temple, we have maybe the temple president or the governing body or somebody who appoints different
devotees to different positions. Okay, you're going to oversee the kitchen department, and you're going to be the assistant to the head of the kitchen department. You're going to be the head of the Sankirtan department. So in this way, the Supreme Lord appoints various devotees because He wants to engage them in devotional service. Most of these devotees are devotees, but they are not pure devotees. They are Mishra Bhakta, mixed devotees, which means that they are devotees, they want to serve the Lord, they like to serve the Lord, but they also have some material desires. So they are not totally pure, which is why they are here in the material world in the first place. So being very kind, Lord Krishna wants to engage all these devotees who are here in the material world, who are qualified to do such exalted services as managing the entire universe. Those who are involved in the task of managing the Krishna consciousness movement, whether as the head of a department, a small department or a big department, or managing a temple or managing a zone, you know how difficult it is. How many of you here are managing departments or activities here? Or you have important roles? Nobody is here. But anyway, you know how difficult it is for devotees to manage these things. It's not easy in the material world. These are very difficult jobs. So therefore, Krishna has to appoint very capable, qualified individuals to these particular services. And sometimes they make mistakes. Brahma makes mistakes, Indra makes mistakes, many of the other demigods make mistakes, and then Krishna has to come and correct them. Just as one, when a department head makes a mistake, then some superior authority may have to come and correct the situation. Everything is not perfect in the material world because people's consciousness is not perfect. So in this way, Krishna has arranged very wonderfully a system by which His devotees and even those who are not devotees may get engaged in the task of managing this universe. In the previous verses we have seen that it is said that even kings are empowered by the Lord to manage the citizens, to protect the citizens. Therefore, in the scriptures, the king is called the Naradeva, God in human form, not in an ontological or literal sense, but in the sense that He represents the power of the Lord to protect the citizens. So if a king does that, even if he is not a devotee, but if a king is protecting his citizens, then he is considered to be a representative of the Supreme Lord. So in any case, Krishna is the one who is a source of all the power. And all the power that we see in the material world that is exhibited by different personalities, whether that power is meager or great, is actually the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the Supreme Lord who decides who He wants to empower, and to what degree, and for what function. Therefore, we have the creator of the universe, Brahma, who is the secondary creator. He is not the primary creator. Brahma himself declares that in the Brahma Samhita. Bhasvan yathashma shakaleshu nisheshu tejah sviyam kiyat prakatayatyapitadvadatra Brahmaya esha jagadanda vidhana karta govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma gives the example of how the sunlight uses a small portion of its teja or its brightness to make certain types of gems like the Suryakanta become very effulgent and bright. So these gems are dependent on the radiance of the sun. It is because the sun gives them radiance that these gems appear very effulgent. So in the same way, Brahma says, speaking of himself, in all the universes there are so many Brahmas, and each of them has been empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govindam Adi Purusham. Therefore, Tamaham Bhajami. Therefore, I offer my respects and obeisances to that Supreme Personality. Brahma is the chief personality in the universe. Jagat Anda Vidhana Karta. So even the chief personality in the universe has got his powers from Krishna. So also with every demigod, every sage, every prajapati, every manu, every king, in fact every one of us, whatever little abilities and powers and intelligence etc. we have is all coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the ability of the ant to crawl and build an anthill, the abilities of the bees to make a beehive to collect honey, and the superb organization that we see in the beehive, that capability is also coming from Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, Brahma also says, Vignan vihantum alamasya jagatrayasya govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Speaking of Lord Ganesh, the demigod whose function it is to remove the obstacles in the path of the auspicious progress of the world. So we see in India, people very often go to Ganesh to remove obstacles. But they have a materialistic mentality mostly. So when they see there's some obstacle in the path of their material advancement, they go to Ganesh for removing those obstacles. So that power that Ganesh has comes from Krishna. As devotees, we recognize that Ganesh is also a pure devotee of the Lord. So we might also approach Ganesh, but with the plea, O Lord Ganesh, please remove the obstacles from the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please bless me that I may become a pure devotee of the Lord. So in this way, every individual in this creation is empowered by the Lord. No one has power that is independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether that power is the power of an ant or it's the power of Brahma, no one has independent power. And it is Krishna who, through this very complex and intricate web of delegation of power, he hands out power to everybody according to what we desire and according to what we deserve by our karma. So therefore, according to somebody's karma, that individual, that soul gets the body of an ant, another one gets the body of Brahma, and then they are suitably empowered according to the functions they need to perform. What a brilliant arrangement. Yesterday I was in another class and I was mentioning there are people who doubt the existence of God or who say that there is no God. But the creation is a testimony to the existence of God. All you have to see is just look at the creation around you and see the brilliance and the exquisite nature of the arrangement and the harmony and the coordination that's required to keep this creation going. And how can we imagine that such a thing happens by chance without any background supreme intelligence behind it? So this is the most wonderful thing, the creation itself. And if there's one thing that's more wonderful than the wonderful creation, is the fact that people believe this creation has no creator. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, aloof from everything, but by his arrangements, by his potencies, has empowered every single living entity with appropriate powers. And therefore the world goes on. And if we want to be devotees of the Lord, then the Supreme Lord will also facilitate that. He will empower us for that. He will arrange for us to get the association of devotees. And then we will progress in our understanding of Krishna consciousness. In the purport in this verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions that instead of taking to Krishna consciousness, there are many under the influence of Maya take up to other processes of speculation and trying to understand how this material world is working. In the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Muhyanti surayah tejo vari yathamritam. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinamayo yatra trisargo mrisha. It is the Supreme Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, who bewilders even the great sages and the demigods. Just as Tejo Vari Mridam, just as sometimes we see an illusion of seeing water on top of fire, or we see the illusion of land in water, similarly this material world going on by the complex actions and reactions of the three modes of nature appears to present a semblance of reality, whereas factually it is illusory. Illusory not in the sense that it doesn't exist. It is illusory in the sense that the names and forms that are presented by this interaction appear to be real, whereas they are actually very temporary. So the ultimate solution, the ultimate knowledge, the ultimate happiness is therefore Krishna consciousness. When we take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness, we get a very clear understanding of what is what, who is who. Who are the demigods? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who are the sages? Who are the prajapatis? Who is a devotee? Who is a yogi? Who is a karmi? Who is a jnani? Who is a non-devotee? We understand the purpose of creation. And then we try to align ourselves with that purpose of creation, which is to become pure devotees of the Lord and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you. We have some questions. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Of course. Thank you. Do we have a mic, please?
You very nicely described how the Lord is always aloof, Vishnu and Krishna, from the material energy. It's described that when there's not a qualified jiva to occupy the post of Lord Brahma, would that incarnation of the Lord in that post, would he contact the material energy?
Yes, sometimes it does happen that when these posts fall vacant and the Lord is not able to find some suitable jiva to perform that function and occupy that post, he occupies it himself. You know, just like it happened in the first Manvantara. This is the seventh Manvantara. So in the first Manvantara, the Manvantara avatar was Yajna, who is also a Leela avatar. And he saw that there was no qualified jiva to be Indra. So Yajna became Indra.
So he would touch the material energy in that post.
Yes, but still, of course, he's aloof, but he occupies that post and discharges those functions. Sometimes the Lord may become Brahma as well. He's avatar and he may take up that post. Just like a prime minister or a president has many ministers, sometimes a particular ministry is vacant. And the president takes charge of that, or the prime minister personally takes charge of that till such time as he's able to find somebody who can do that job. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your class, Rasamrita Maharaj. I just had a question. You had mentioned that the Manvantara avatar for this Manvantara is Vamana Dev. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
So, how many... I didn't quite catch you when you said how many yuga cycles is it for one Manvantara?
71.
71.
That's right.
And those consist of the four yuga cycles... Satyuga, Chetyuga, Dwapara, Kaliyuga.
That's right.
So 71 times 4.
That's right.
Okay, so my question is that Vamana Dev resides in Sutala right now, right? In Sutala Loka with Bali Maharaj. And my question is that Bali Maharaj took over the universe and was performing yajnas on the bank of some river, I forget the river's name, but he was governing the entire three worlds, and he had the three worlds under his control. So my question is, then Indra went and they went to the milk ocean. They said, you know, Bali Maharaj is terrorizing the entire universe. And can you please do something about it? So then Vamana Dev appeared as Kasyapa and Aditi's son. So then Indra got what he wanted, which was his kingdom back. But since Bali Maharaj surrendered everything unto Vamana Dev and even had Vamana Dev place his last footstep on his head, which is, you know, and he's the perfect example of surrendering everything. So then he now resides in Sutala.
The question.
The question is, he has like, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that he is like taking the side of the demons because he resides with Bali Maharaj, who is the king? The coronated king of the demons, first Prahlad Maharaj, then Virochana, then Bali Maharaj?
Yes.
So that's the question.
Thank you. Well, this question is also asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev Goswami in the beginning of the 7th canto, when he hears descriptions of how the Supreme Personality of Godhead helped the demigods conquer the demons. And at length, Shukadev Goswami explains how partiality is found only on the material platform and for one who is in the bodily concept of life. Since the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these material conceptions, he has no concept of friend and enemy. He is equal to all. And therefore, there was no question that the Lord could be partial to somebody and he could envy somebody else. So that's a wonderful passage. So I would recommend you can read the first chapter of the 7th canto and you'll see a very, very elaborate answer to this question. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
And
yes.
The next question I have to ask.
Let's give a chance to somebody. Yeah? We'll give a chance to another person. Okay, yeah?
Is that it says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, he said it's okay. It says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that if you take Tulsi dust and put it on your crown chakra, the Rahu chakra or your Sika chakra, that any bad planet cannot influence you for that entire day until the next sunrise. So for me, that's very hard to understand because I do that every day and I still feel a lot of misery. So could you please explain how that is possible or... just elaborate upon that, or because it's written in this by Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Could you elaborate on that?
You know, in the 7th canto, in connection with Prahlad, Shukadev Goswami explains that while everybody else is controlled by all the 9 planets, Prahlad was controlled by the Krishna planet, Krishna Graha. So therefore, the other 9 planets had no influence on him. So therefore, we also take shelter of Krishna, the Krishna planet, then we don't have to worry about these other things. Whatever misery may come in our life, may come, let it come, it will go, and we will focus on our Krishna consciousness. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. One last question here. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, can you explain on the understanding when you speak about incarnations?
Say that again.
When we understand, or when you explain about incarnations and expansions.
Incarnations and expansions.
When you said about Lord Shiva, you said that he is an expansion of Krishna, but he touches the material world. And then you spoke about the incarnations like Manvantara avatars. So, as an understanding, to relate our basic understanding on how we explain.
Okay, so basically your question is, what is the difference between the expansions and the incarnations? The incarnations are those expansions of the Lord that descend into this world. Actually, the word incarnation is wrong, actually. The English word, it doesn't have a sufficiently correct English equivalent. The word incarnation comes from the word carnus or carnal, you know, to do with the body. So incarnation really means to have another material body, from the English understanding. But because of a lack of a better word, this word is used by us. But actually it is avatar. Avatar means avatarati iti avataraha. One who descends from the spiritual world into the material world is called an avatar. There is no question of the Lord having a material body. So this is an expansion who descends into the law, into the material world. That is an avatar, an incarnation. So the Lord has innumerable expansions, and they descend from time to time into the material world to fulfill different purposes, and then they are called avatars. In English, loosely we call them incarnations, but we must know the distinction. Okay? All right. Yes. Yes, as I explained, the expansions are the forms that emanate from the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. And those expansions that descend into the material world are called incarnations, avatars. Avatars are those who descend into the material world. Okay? So when the expansions descend here, they are called avatars or incarnations. Okay? All right. We're over time. Last question. Okay.
Maharaj, is there anywhere where it's explained what is implied by the fact that in the 20th millennium, Dwapara, Kali, there is a, you know, the four yugas, they don't come in order. Dwapara comes after Treta Yuga. Usually it's Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. In the 20th millennium, where Krishna appears, there is one millennium appears before the other one, but there is nothing explained about it. Do you know anything?
Yes, that is a bit of a section that needs more discussion. It is Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. You know, the third, second, and Kali is, you know, like that. So, anyway, that's a big topic. But anyway, this is the general sequence in which things happen. Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. And then that keeps on repeating. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantha Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.